Today, we're going to focus on the great commandment, or as Jesus put it in our scripture reading, the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. As we begin, I'd like us to begin in Revelation chapter 2. We're going to look at several scriptures today, but this will be our introduction. Revelation chapter 2. As you know, we are studying in the book of Exodus, and yes, I still will consider this a part of that series, even though I may not use the book of Exodus expressly as the text. I want to remind you that we have just enjoyed studying the Ten Commandments. And the way God directed us in this time to look at the Ten Commandments was looking at what God values. In other words, what is God's value system that he presented to his people there at Mount Sinai? And it's pretty clear and laid out what God values. Now, with that in mind, certainly the Lord Jesus understood the book of Exodus. He knew it. In fact, he inspired it. If we believe the Trinity, there's one God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus, of course, knew the book of Exodus and knew about the Ten Commandments. And the Jews themselves, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, knew all about the Ten Commandments. They knew the Old Testament and the Exodus and the context of it all. The Lord Jesus, when he was asked, what is the great commandment? Now again, you remember we read it already, but the Pharisees were testing him. So this was a question meant to trip him up, meant to have him say something that they could grab a hold of and point out, you are in error. Now, we know the Lord Jesus would not be tripped up. And so we hear his answer, and with absolute confidence, we can embrace his answer as truth. As truth. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is an important discussion for us as a church because sometimes we can get caught up and wrapped up in all the commandments. We can get buried under the mountain of the do's and the don'ts, the thou shalt nots. And I so appreciate what Jesus does for us in narrowing it all down for us into two great commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, how could the Lord Jesus do this rightfully? I mean, the Ten Commandments were clearly laid out there at Mount Sinai. And there they were given to God's people. And indeed, the Ten Commandments themselves kind of stood out as the first revelation of God's commands to his people. And so you've got these commands that are there, and yet the Lord Jesus takes the whole Torah, the first five books of the Bible, he takes all of that, and he summarizes it in these two commandments. How can he do such a thing? Does he have a disregard of the commandments of Moses, of the law of Moses? Now, of course, the answer to that is no. We're talking about Jesus, right? But as we contemplate and we think about that, we've got to think of the ramifications of what he says. Because the Lord Jesus is not just kicking all of God's past commands to the curb and saying, no good anymore. He's not doing that. But he's providing a a structure upon which people can live and operate in such a way where they believe in the Lord and live in a manner that's honorable to Him, that's befitting of their title as people of God. So, Jesus says this is the first and great commandment. And the first and great commandment is thou shalt love. Now, as I was contemplating this, and I was having a discussion with my wife about, she was hearing a message on the radio or somewhere about this letter in Revelation chapter 2 to the church in Ephesus. And of course, in my mind, I have this morning, I'm thinking about, and it struck me that Ephesus is rebuked by the Lord Jesus because they had left their first love. Just by way of context, Revelation 2 and 3 are letters written by the Lord Jesus to the seven churches of Asia. It is believed that these were the churches in the late 1st century AD, that John is the one who penned, the Apostle John is the one who put this on paper, but of course inspired by the Spirit of God and directed by the Lord Jesus. This really is revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first letter the Lord Jesus writes is to the city of Ephesus. He writes in chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, and who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works, and your labor, and your patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, verse 4, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hast hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which also I hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. It is striking to me as I consider this rebuke to this church, which on the outside and looking in seems to have it all together, seems to be fairly strong in its works, seems to be identifying error in their midst. And yet the Lord Jesus, seeing through the outward works that they have, recognizes that they had left their first love. And it is my thought, I am curious, I'm wondering, this first love, could it have had something to do with their love and devotion for the Lord Jesus? Because I have been thinking through the great commandment where Jesus says this is the first and great commandment, and that commandment is love the Lord thy God. Could it be that this church knew how to live as a Christian but had forgotten to love God? Now you might say, well, how is that possible? How can they have these works and do things that seemingly the Lord approves, and yet leave thy first love? Well, we know that it doesn't take much to put on a good show, to act. This is what Jesus was dealing with when he was with the Pharisees. These are the Jewish religious leaders who have dedicated their lives to understanding the scriptures that they had. And it was their role to lead the people of God, the Jews, in their worship of Jehovah. And yet, what do we see? We see a people who have got it figured out on the outside, but on the inside, they do not have a love for God. The church in Ephesus, as they received this letter, were probably on a roller coaster of emotion. For of course, the Lord Jesus is affirming several things, as we noted in verse 2 and 3. They've labored, they had not fainted. But when they come to verse 4 and they hear that he has something against them, they had left their first love, their minds would have been reeling. What is he talking about? What is he saying about us? I know in my life personally, this is a very timely reminder. Because it is easy to go through the motions of Christianity, to exercise the works and to do the things that are right, and to not do the things that are wrong. And yet, to have a love that is missing, a love that is no longer for the Lord God. I'm asking myself the question, am I loving the Lord thy God, the Lord my God, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind? And this is a question I am asking, and I trust you ask as well. It is important that we recognize that we are more than just physical beings, but that we are spiritual beings, and that God is at work within us as His church, and His Spirit is within us, and we are to love God, to love Him with all of our being. And how often do we talk about this, or really ask and examine our hearts, do I love God with all of my heart? This is important, not but just because of what we see here in Revelation chapter 2, not just because of what we see in Matthew chapter 22, but it's also important because of what we see in Exodus chapter 20. Because right in the midst of the Ten Commandments, and I know I've already mentioned this, but it's not left me, so I hit it again. In the midst of the Ten Commandments, after he gives the first and the second commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto me any graven image. In the context of those two commandments, he says, verse 6 of Exodus 20, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, he says. That love me. So he gives the first two commandments, thou shalt love, or that's what Jesus does. But in this context, he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Hate me. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. It is interesting what he says there. The contrast and comparison, the hate, those that hate me, those that love me, visiting iniquity of the fathers or showing mercy. I can easily see how someone studying the Ten Commandments, or even when these Ten Commandments were given to the people, how they might have overlooked this detail. But I recognize that we must not overlook that God shows mercy to the thousands that love Him. Love Him. And this is right in the midst of thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Now, as we've read in Matthew chapter 22, the Lord Jesus does summarize, if you will, or takes the commandments and puts them down into 1 and 2. He is not just pulling that out of thin air, but those truths are found in the Old Testament. As we note here, even in the context of the Ten Commandments, we see the value of loving God. Loving Him. The Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament, but it's often used to help in interpretation and understanding. It would have been what many of the New Testament writers would have had and would have referenced in their day. But it's interesting how it translates this word love. It uses the word agape. Agape is the Greek word for a love based upon a commitment. It's a commitment-driven affection. In other words, it's not a feeling or passion-driven affection. It's a commitment-driven affection. And the Lord, in Exodus chapter 20, emphasizes He shows mercy unto thousands of them that love Him. Now, when we contemplate and thinking about what it means to love, let's just look at a couple passages in this, in the first five books of the Bible, to see what Jesus was doing in Matthew 22. So go to Leviticus chapter 19. Again, we're going to look at several scriptures today. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus is not a common book that people say, hey, go read Leviticus. But I would tell you that when you read Leviticus, you're going to walk away with this truth: the Lord is holy. Oh, yes, you will. But in Leviticus chapter 19, look at verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All right, there's word for word what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So that's the second aspect, that second part. What about the first part? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Well, go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 5, guess what? The Ten Commandments are repeated. Deuteronomy chapter 5. All right? All right, so Deuteronomy chapter 5 has the Ten Commandments. And again, it has that same phrase, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That's in verse 10 of chapter 5. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, thou and your son and your son's son, all the days of your life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now, the first five books of the Bible are, to many, very a tedious read. And there's a lot in there. In fact, the Jewish religious leaders, I believe they counted up to 600 to 613 different commandments given in those scriptures. And so we return back to Matthew 22 to once again the question, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 down through 40. We've read it earlier in our service, but let's take a look at it now a bit more. This question is being asked by the Pharisees. And it's asked with an attempt to trip up Jesus. It's to tempt him. That's a narrative insight given in verse 35. Asking the question, Master, which is the great commandment in the law, places upon Jesus the burden of going through the entire law and choosing one command that is above all the others. Now, you realize in doing something like that, if you choose the greatest, then that means all the rest are not as great, are lesser. And of course, we like this way of thinking because some commands we like and some commands we don't like. And so if we can give this hierarchy of these are the absolute ones, these are the ones that we definitely got to do this, we got definitely got to keep this, they're the greatest ones, but these, well, they weren't considered the greatest. So that's the burden put down here on Jesus. You know, it's clever. I have full confidence in Jesus. Do you? I hope you do. I have full confidence that he can handle these types of questions. And by the way, the world continues to ask these kinds of questions to believers. And don't think yourself so clever that you know how to answer them. We need God. We need the Lord. And you know what? I've heard men of God answer difficult questions, but I don't believe it's because they're just really smart. It's because we need to walk with God daily, because you never know when that person at work is going to say, so, what about this? Remember that passage in 1 Peter, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer of the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. I still am impacted by the reality of sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's the first part. So the burden is placed upon Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law. Jesus' response is quite compelling, and we do well to listen. you shall love the Lord your God. Now, these are words that flow so quickly from our lips. What does it really mean to love? How do we understand what it means to love? As Christians, we should know the answer to that question. We love because he first loved us, right? You recognize that Jesus giving this commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, places an emphasis upon the love of God for his people. And a recognition, an acknowledging that God has loved his people. Now, when God gave the Ten Commandments there at Mount Sinai, God demonstrated his love to his people. He has cared for them. He has carried them on eagle's wings. He's brought them to this place, provided them water, provided them food. And in the Old Testament, in the flow of the Old Testament, there's this lingering promise that God has a plan, an ultimate plan of deliverance. And the ribbon of this promise you can trace throughout the Old Testament, and more is added to it as you get further and further. And all of this is leading to Jesus. These covenants, these promises, the preservation of God's people, of a remnant, of the prophets continuing just to proclaim God and his truth. And so therefore, it is put regularly before God's people, who is God? Do you love him? We love because he first loved us. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God took upon himself to show us, to teach us, to demonstrate for us what love is. In that even for his enemies, even for those who have sinned or are in sin, he died for us. He gave himself. And Jesus saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, is compelling the mind and heart of these Pharisees to remember the commands of the Old Testament and remember what we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and to remember the Lord and who he is and how he's demonstrated a care for his people, a love for them. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God, Lord speaking of master, speaking of the authority of one's life, thy God speaking, I believe, reminding us of thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor bow down to it. Thou shalt love the Lord, your authority, thy God, the one you worship. And so there's a singularity about this. Who is he talking about? The Lord thy God. Love him. Well, who is the Lord thy God? The Lord thy God is the one who is holy, who is the one who has established his holiness through the giving of the various commands to the Jews, to this people, who over and over has declared himself as righteous. That's the Lord. And so to love the Lord thy God involves a submission to His authority and holiness. Who's the authority in your life? The answer to that question is the one that you love. Who sets the standards for your life? The answer to that is the one that you love. Love the Lord thy God. And now we get to this with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. That was out of order. With all thy soul, with all thy mind. And that three-letter word that we so often push up against, A-L-L, all. All? Everything? All that I am? Take for a moment and step back and think if that word would not be there. If it said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy heart, with thy soul, and with thy mind. Not a problem. Got it. I'll love Him with my heart. I'll love Him with my mind. I'll love Him with my soul. But you're also going to love this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Do you realize God is a jealous God? Where did we hear that from? Exodus chapter 20. Do you realize that he's not going to share our devotion, our energies? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. All, it says. We can't wiggle around it. So contemplate it. Think through this for a moment in your own heart. Do I share the Lord? Do I share the allegiance that I give to the Lord with others or with something else? You know, one of the things that as I contemplate this, because I'm in this journey right with you, all right? One of the things I'm realizing is that if I don't remind myself of this, if I don't think about this, then it's not on my radar every day to contemplate and think, am I loving the Lord like my God with all my heart today? And, you know, as I look back, I can easily see various different times in my life where I'm not, where I am loving, it usually is me. It's usually me that I'm loving. And I can see the value of putting this to memory, of posting this, of reminding yourself on a regular basis, a daily basis, through the first two commandments from the Lord Jesus gave these, and He's perfect, and I can trust Him. And so thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. I need that reminder. Because if the Lord says these are the two great commandments, and on all these hang the law and the prophets, then I am called to obey. I am called to this. Now, the other aspect of this, and I believe this is key, is that embedded in this loving the Lord thy God is faith. Because the Lord thy God is spirit, and loving Him means I am trusting Him. I am believing in Him. I'm resting in Him. This was the common error that so many of the Jews came up against, is that they did not love the Lord thy God. their God. Because they didn't trust and believe in him. In other words, he was not the one true God upon which they would lean and rest. He was a part of their religion. He was not the focus of their lives. They incorporated Jehovah God in their lives, but he was not their God. And this is what can happen in our lives, is we can incorporate God and Christianity into our lives. But if it's just a part, then we have lost this first love. We have lost this singular, greatest command, devotion to the Lord my God. Now, what I love about this is that the Lord Jesus gave this. As I embrace this, I know that I'll be walking in a right relationship with God. You might say, well, it has nothing to do with what you say or what you do. Oh, yeah, it does. So this is the impact of a relationship with God. When he is your God and you are fully devoted unto him, it's going to impact every single area of your life. And as you love God, you're going to love others. And you're going to love them properly. Because as you are loving God, God is going to help you see them as he sees them. And you'll be able to love your neighbor as yourself. See, that's one of the things we struggle with, isn't it? Even in a fellowship like this, there can be that tension and the struggle to love our neighbor as ourselves. Do you ever feel that tension rise up in you? Yeah, that can rise up. And as that rises up, go to the first commandment. Say, do I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind? And usually we're out of line there. And we get in line there, who's our God. And he takes care of the loving neighbor. He will help us to love our neighbor as we ought. So, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. It's above all of them. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says it's the second, which places it under the first. But he says, this is the second, like unto it, which means that it still has the same breadth and authority. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And what is interesting is you will find in the epistles throughout the New Testament, as you read them, look for this. You'll look and you'll see this second commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You'll see it appear over and over again. Why? It's because the apostles and the Holy Spirit who's inspiring his word is reminding us of what Jesus has said. But all of this is within the context of loving God first. It's in the context of being God's people by faith. And that means I'm loving God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. So, this church in Ephesus, but I have this one thing that is against you, that you have left your first love. Could it be that God is reminding them, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Reorient yourself upon him. You may appear like you've got it all together, but I know in your heart where your devotion lies. It needs to be reoriented, refocused. Love the Lord your God. So naturally, we are led now to just a time of introspection. Who's the authority in my life? Who do I worship? And you know, I realize that this is going to be an ongoing type thing. So perhaps the question is, who am I worshiping right now? Who am I submitting to right now in my life? Because as I've heard the words of Jesus, I know I am to be loving, sacrificially committed, without conditions, to the love, to the Lord my God. And then it's with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind, with every fiber of my being. And I know what rises up within me is, what about this, Lord? Or what about this? What about these areas of this area of my life? Or can I have a little bit for me? Yeah. We need God's help. Absolutely. And so, he's given us his help through the wondrous Spirit. Love your neighbor as yourself. How am I loving me? I need to love them. Lord, I recognize that today the questions, the commands are piercing deep into our hearts and our minds. And Lord, it is easy for us to be distracted. But it is my desire, Lord, that the impact of this study is seen, is realized, is recognized, not just individually, but in this church. That we are a people that are not devoted to anything or anyone but you. That we know how to love one another as we love ourselves. That we are devoted to commitment and care and affection. God, we thank you for your example of love to us as you went to the cross and you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As you looked at a convicted criminal who said, Lord, remember me. And you said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. As Lord, you said, it is finished. And you died. And your word says that this is your demonstration. This is the demonstration of love. And we love because you first loved us. God, have an impact, have your way in our hearts. Give our ears, help us, our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. In your name, amen.